think it's the fifth verse of the first chapter. Fifth verse. First chapter, fifth verse. At the end of that verse, we find these words. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee.
Amen.
I selected for Kyle trying to make something up, but I said the simplicity of the Bible. That's what I want to talk about with you for a few moments. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the beauty of the Bible is found in its capacity to be simple. That is to say, you know, we can often say you've got to be a lawyer, philosopher to understand what Scripture is saying, but you don't have to be. It's simple. Amen. It's so simple that, you know, when you read certain Scriptures, you can easily confuse the concept of what it's telling us.
All right.
You miss the point of what it's saying, and that's why we're debating the Bible now in so many areas, you know. Some of them say, I interpret the Bible, that's my business, and I'm just as good as you, and you interpret it, and, you know, so we're doing that. But when two people disagree on an interpretation, somebody's wrong, either both of us are wrong. Amen.
Amen.
The old folk used to say, you know, God said it, I believe it, that's settled. And I think about the old folk, you know, the reason I came up with this title is because my dad and my grandfather were very simple men. They weren't educated. My dad and my father went to the fourth grade. Back then you had farm work to do, and as soon as the spring came, you had to plow and get ready for the harvest, and you worked until late fall in the harvest, so you only had a couple of months to attend school. But he said he went to the fourth grade. But he's a good man.
Mm-hmm.
Believe the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And there are so many of them who couldn't even read.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And they had a faith that sustained them in their hour of crisis as they journeyed on. And it didn't take any great explanation of the Bible to satisfy them. We just had faith in God.
Amen.
That's all we need, a little faith sometimes.
Yes, sir.
To carry us through. And the Bible supports what I'm saying. You know, the Bible is not complex.
Mm-hmm.
No. We just make it complex.
Come on.
You see. And the Bible supports me. If you don't believe it, read it. Back when Elijah fled in fear from Jezebel to Mount Horeb, he expected God to come in some great catastrophic force in wind, earth, or earthquake. But God just came in a still small voice.
Mm-hmm.
Said, Elijah, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. After David had caused the death of Uriah, husband of his lover Bathsheba, Prophet Nathan trapped him, not with some fine point of Jewish prudence, but with a simple parable. Nathan simply said, there were two men who lived in a certain city.
Mm-hmm.
One was rich and the other poor.
Mm-hmm.
As would be expected, the rich man had great flocks and herds, and the poor man purchased a little ewe lamb. Kept it as a member of the family.
Right.
It was nice to him. But one day, the rich man had some guests that came to his house, and instead of him going and taking one of the flocks that he had of thousands of animals, he took the poor man's ewe lamb,
mm-hmm.
killed it, and he asked David, what do you think of such a man like that? David said, well, such a man like that is so cruel, a man so selfish, he should die.
Mm-mm.
Nathan said, I got news for you. You're the man.
Right.
Amen. Nicodemus came to the master with the problem of unfulfilled religion. The master didn't search the rabbinical writings. Rather, he spoke to Nicodemus in simple language. He said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Mm-hmm. Nicodemus asked him, "How can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb?" "No, Nicodemus, you missed the point." You missed the point. Man that is born of flesh is flesh.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you got to be born of the Spirit.
Amen.
That which is born of the Spirit will live. And Jesus spoke about the super-rational, inexplainable nature of God's grace and the love that is shown toward all of our God's children. Our Lord spoke simply. He told of a prodigal son. After leaving home, came to himself in a hog pen one day, and he returned to his father's forgiving love. Yeah. And Jesus explained the meaning of the incarnation, the compassion behind it, and the purpose of his mission. He said, I'm like a good shepherd. Yes, sir. I know my own, and my own know me.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And so, my friends, this morning, that's the way God is with us. Amen. When we reach those points of crisis in our lives, when we don't know what to do, where to go or where to turn, when all around us are questions but there are no answers, mm-hmm. when it seems as if our backs are up against a wall, or as if we're standing on the edge of a cliff, God comes to us in simplicity, in a small voice. And even though God remains a mystery to us, he often speaks simply in language that we can understand. When our spirits are low, our minds confused, our hearts burn. When our souls get weary, God often speaks a word of persistence. And when we wonder how we shall persist, God speaks a word of assistance.
Yes, sir.
My message this morning is in our text is to point a few things out. Because I know what it is when it gets rough.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. When I was growing up, after I had married, I had three kids in college at one time. My children were born a year apart. Mm-hmm. And my wife, you know, and I, we had said, our children are going to go to college. So there, at one point, they were all three of them were in college. And I guess the verses in those colleges, I wrote them to death. Amen. But it can get rough. I was working two jobs and pastoring the church. Mm. Amen. But you know, God made a way for me.
Well, amen. Right.
Amen.
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 And when God spoke these words of the text to Joshua, the children of Israel, the children of the promise, mm-hmm. they were experiencing an inner crisis. All right. But you see, Moses was dead at that time. One man who was courageous enough to confront Egypt's power structure, armed with nothing but his staff and an edict from God and a directive to Pharaoh. He said, "Let my people go." Mm-hmm. The Moses he had passed on. The Moses who had secured Israel's emancipation from Egypt and had guided the people for 40 years in the wilderness, who prayers had brought them manna from heaven when they were hungry. Water from a rock when they were thirsty.
Yes, sir.
That Moses had gone on. When all seemed lost and everything seemed hopeless, as Pharaoh's army charged from the rear and the Red Sea in front of them. That Moses had passed on. Mm-hmm. Amen. And that Moses had gone on. The loss of a leader like Moses is bad enough, but when that loss comes at a crucial time in a people's history, when it occurs at the turning point of a people's life, that loss is magnified. You see, my friend, the children of Israel are about to cross, embark on the second phase of their journey toward freedom. That phase was the recapturing of the land of Canaan. They were now
stand looking over the Jordan River, standing between the slavery of Egypt and the freedom of Canaan, thinking about the challenges, the battles, the struggles that were before them, and knowing that whatever they had faced this time, they would have to face it without the season and fatherly leadership of Moses. God, who first spoke to Moses through the burning bush in the desert on the backside of a mountain and told them to go to Egypt, the God who had guided them, directed them, and upheld them during all of these moments of crisis in their lives, he was still alive. Mm-hmm. That same God spoke to Joshua, the second one in command, who would now become the first in command. Mm-hmm. See, now look, Joshua, I know your heart is heavy. I know that you feel the loss of Moses. I know you're grieving about him.
Yes, sir.
But I'm still with you.
Amen. Right.
And don't think it's going to be easy. Sometimes you'll give your best, and your best won't seem good enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll begin to wonder if you really call for your work.
My God.
But just go on. Sometimes you go out of your way to help folks, and the very ones you're trying to help,
my Lord,
will be the most first one to turn their back upon you.
Come on, come on, preacher.
But you got to go on. Sometimes you try to stand for what's right.
Yeah.
And it will seem as if you're standing by yourself.
Yes.
But don't worry about it. You just got to go on. Sometimes the opposition will seem too great. Sometimes it will seem as if the system will destroy you. But you got to go on.
Yes, sir.
In spite of high mountains, in spite of deep valleys, you got to go on in the house.
Yes,
right. Sometimes folks will get mad at you and turn down.
That's true.
Fight what you're trying to do. Sometimes your staunch supporters will become discouraged, fall by the wayside. Sometimes folks will get mad at you. But you just got to go on in the house.
Yes, sir.
Right. If God spoke to Joshua, God speaks to us.
Amen.
When we are overwhelmed by life problems, life setbacks, when we have tried to be good pastors and good Christian men and women, good husbands and wives, devoted sons and daughters,
yes,
responsible young people, that it seems as if the devil has made a shamble of our work.
Come on, come on.
Of our lives and our homes and our marriages, when responsibilities are great, odds against us overwhelming, and we are most aware of our own weaknesses and the shortcomings. God speaks to us simply.
Yes, Lord.
With a word of persistence. Don't give up. Keep on fighting.
Yes.
Keep on trying.
Hallelujah.
Just go on. In spite of the stumbling blocks that are thrown in our way, and the ditches that have been dug, and the snares that have been set, just go on. Even though many false prophets arise against us, and lead many astray, and even though iniquity shall abound, and the love of many will wax cold, just go on, because the person who endures shall be healed. That's the one that's going to be saved. I know sometimes we feel like saying, how can I go on? Lord, I'm by myself. I'm just standing here alone. Challenge is too great. The opposition is too powerful. And I'm too weak and powerless. It's at that moment that God speaks to us a word of assistance. God said to us what he said to Joshua, as it was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fear you, nor will I forsake you. What God is saying to Joshua, my friends, is this. You don't understand who it is that's talking to you. I'm the one who caused us to be what is.
Yes, sir.
Before there was a when or where or then or there, I was. I was who stepped out into the darkness, into the bleakness and bleakness of chaos and said, let there be light.
Yeah. Right.
I was the one who spread out the seven seas, carpeted the earth with grass, dyed the hills with trees, and flung the stars into the Milky Way.
That's all right.
I'm the one who faced Abraham, told Abraham to go.
Yes.
I'm the one who stopped him from sacrificing Isaac.
Yes.
It was my angel that wrestled with Jacob all night.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You don't have to tell me what happened to Joseph in Egypt. I was there. Whatever Moses did, he didn't do it through his own strength, but my wisdom. Not by his own strength, but by my power.
Yes.
As I've been with others, as I've upheld others, as I've fed others, as I've led others, so will I be with you. I will neither fail you, nor will I forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
We can go on today, church, because God is our protector.
Yes,
Christ is our traveling companion.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit is our comforter.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
our
thank
guide.
You. Thank you.
When our paths get blocked, God can be a fence all around
us. Hallelujah.
And when hellhounds are on our trail, he'll stand between them and us as a pillar of fire.
Yeah.
And I've got a witness that if you stretch out on God's word,
yes, sir. Yeah.
He'll make a way for you.
Yeah.
He'll fight your battles for you if you just keep still.
My God.
Therefore, no matter what happens from day to day, you got to go on. No matter what foes appear in the front of the rain, you got to go on. No matter who tells you that you can make it, you know in whom you have believed.
Amen.
So go on. And when you have been falsely accused and being persecuted for righteousness' sake, jealous minds, vindictive spirits,
my God,
petty souls and unconverted hearts cast their name out as evil. You got to go on in the house.
Yes.
Go on because the Lord, David has said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Yes, sir.
He delighted in his way.
Yes.
Though be he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I was once young, but now I'm old. During my lifetime, I've seen a lot of things going on.
Oh my God.
I've seen people betray one another just for the sake of their own good.
Yes.
I've seen friends turn on families. I've seen fathers walk away from children.
My Lord.
But David said, there's one thing I've never seen. I've never seen the righteous.
Hallelujah. Glory. Glory.
Sometimes, like Paul, we may ask, Lord, how can I go on? I got this thorn in my flesh. What keep me from doing what I want to do and being what I ought to be?
Yes, sir.
Three times I besought you in prayer and asked you to remove this burden. But when I given to them, the same message come to us. Go on because my grace.
Yes, sir.
It's a feature.
Hallelujah.
For you.
Hallelujah.
My strength is made perfect in your weakness. If we go on depending upon sufficient grace, trusting in the promises of God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and being kept by power divine. One of these old days, my friend, we'll reach the promised land.
We'll
reach across the Jordan River.
Yeah.
Jordan's wall, Jericho's wall will fall down before us. We'll claim the prize of the high calling of Christ in Christ Jesus. Some writer said, go on, further on, still more further. Count your milestone one by one. Jesus will forsake you never.
Yes, sir.
Better further on. Thou not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Be who finishes the job, who goes on.
Yes, sir.
Until the end.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you this morning.
Amen.
May God keep you.
Thank you.
Devil don't mind. mind you coming to church. And our devil don't mind you. Joining the church. He's just wanting you to put it off until tomorrow. Get your soul saved.
Yes, sir.
If you have a church home and you're away from home now and you're living in this area and you haven't yet made up your mind which way you're going, this is the day you ought to make that decision. Some say, you know, in the old days they used to say, God, I.
Hallelujah! Glory!
They used to say in the olden days that it would just take me in as a black gear member.
Glory! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you! Glory! Hallelujah!
They used to say white gear member, but there's no such thing as a white gear member. Church doesn't have any secondary membership.
Come on, come on.
You're either a member or you're not.
Amen.
Or even if it's only a month, join the church. And when you leave, join another church. That's in the temple. Is there another day?
I'm listening. God bless you. I'm going to ask the ministers to come down and ask everybody to come around. Just let each of you know how glad we are. How very, very